With our 3 o'clock hour comes the first guest of the program. Michael Lombardi is a radio.com NFL insider, and he is on the Dialpad guest line. Dialpad helps you make smarter calls. You can listen to Mike on his podcast, The GM Shuffle, available on radio.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Insider calls are brought to you by Quip. Go to quip.com/2019 and get your first refill pack for free. Michael Lombardi, welcome in. And first thing I want to ask you is just generally, first loss of the season for the Niners. How much did what you saw on the field last night affect your overall view of who they are as a team?
Well, I don't think it really affected us. I mean, you know, they're playing without their, you know, the number one receiver in George Kittle. They don't have their field goal kicker, so that's a problem. And then, you know, they had an opportunity to at least assure a tie. I think they mismanaged the game at the end, throwing three incomplete passes and basically giving Seattle extra timeouts. And their receivers dropped way too many passes. I mean, losing Emmanuel Sanders, I think, was probably one of the worst things that happened in the game. So, you know, look, it's not good to go on. I mean, look, you all talk about wanting to play and have this undefeated season and all that, but I think sometimes you can refocus your team and maintain a sense of consistent order when you lose a game that perhaps you should have won, and I think that's what happened to the 49ers.
Is it reasonable, though, even how the game went out, when you lose as many components as they do and you become almost as one-dimensional offensively as they had to last night and expect to win that game? I mean, wasn't it Seattle's game to have, and the fact that Seattle basically needed all of 75 minutes to put it away, an indication that the 49ers were as good as they were going to be last night?
You know, I think when you break it down, I mean, the Seattle, that was the best they've played on defense all year in terms of their ability to get after the quarterback and put pressure. Even with McClinchy and Staley back in there, you know, that was the best Clowney has played all season. I mean, it was a different Clowney than anybody was used to seeing. And so they needed that. Their offensive line struggled to block. I think losing Ron Blair was huge, too. Ron Blair's a really good player. He's going to make a huge amount of money in free agency. So, you know, I think that it was the perfect storm for Seattle to win that game. You know, they had some time to get ready for it. You know, they understand how to play the run game of the 49ers for the most part. But, you know, sometimes the game slips away, and I think that was one of those that just slipped away from the Niners.
What'd you think about Jimmy Garoppolo's performance? Because I'm watching this guy from the stands. I sit in the end zone. I'm sitting next to my grandpa. He's seen all the greats. John Brody, he's seen Joe Montana, Steve Young, Jeff Garcia. And he said the same thing I said. Is, man, the minute Emmanuel Sanders went out of this game, obviously he was already a little skittish with the pass rush being in his face, but his decision-making and his trust in some of the other receivers not named Deebo Samuel, it just created for a helter-skelter, skittish performance from Jimmy Garoppolo. Did you see the same thing?
I think trust is the key operative word right there. I think he doesn't really trust anybody other than Emmanuel Sanders, and he put the ball on him. I mean, look, he throws an interception because they're, you know, the receiver's playing volleyball out there, and it's challenging. And look, that's the number one thing for quarterbacks is have trust. I think the reason they went and got Emmanuel Sanders was perfectly on display last night. They need another receiver. They needed somebody that's reliable and dependable to be in the right spot and catch the ball, and they didn't really have that last night. And that's going to be a work in progress. I don't know how bad Emmanuel Sanders is in terms of the injury, but they need him back to be able to reach their full level.
They're saying day to day, Michael Lombardi, our guest, a radio.com NFL insider, but I mean, I think you make a key point there, which is he really only has trust in Emmanuel Sanders, and that's a great compliment to Sanders, who's only been here a few weeks, but I think it's maybe an even bigger indictment of the entire rest of the cast of wide receivers who have been around Jimmy for much, much longer than that and seem to have earned that lack of trust. So I guess the question is there any other solution to this? Or is this now as simple as if Emmanuel Sanders isn't healthy, you're in trouble?
You're going to be in trouble. They got to get better, obviously. But, you know, sometimes guys, you know, Marquise Goodwin will flash at times.
Yep.
You know, there's flashes, but there's no consistency. And I think quarterbacks want consistency. They want somebody who's going to be consistent when they throw them the ball. He gets Kittle back. That's a huge load. Now, if Kittle's on that field last night, it might be a different game. You know, it's a huge factor when he doesn't have his safety valve and they can't do all the things that they want to do with the nakeds and all that stuff, they could do it, but it Kittle makes things much better, and it's harder to double Kittle, you know, when Emmanuel Sanders is on the outside. And so it's just there's a little bit of a residual effect. And teams are going to force the 49ers to prove that their receivers are going to get better. They will improve at certain points. It's really consistency has got to be the key.
What in general about the weekend told you something about the NFC in general that you didn't already know? Or do you have a pretty good idea after 10 weeks who is who and what's what?
You know, I think I have in my power rankings, and I do my power rankings different than everybody else. I do it numerically, and then I had the Cowboys rated a little higher. I think that the Cowboys are a better team than a 5-4 record. They really are. They lose games. They shouldn't have lost to Minnesota. They shouldn't have lost to the Jets, but they do. They're somehow they kind of mess it up, and I think a lot of it goes back to the head coach and what he does and how he manages the game. I mean, he tries a 54-yard field goal to start off the game, and then in the third quarter, he doesn't even attempt one from 52. I mean, it's just bizarre. And you know, he gets away with it because that's what the owner wants, you know, and nobody really can question it. So, you know, I think all the other teams, with the exception of San Francisco and New Orleans, I think when you look at the Rams, you look at Seattle, you look at Minnesota, you look at Philadelphia, they all have problems on defense in their secondaries. You can throw the ball on Philly. Now, you got to block them, but you can throw it on them. You can throw the ball on Seattle. You got to block them, but you can throw it on them. And you can throw the ball on Green Bay. You got to block them, but you can throw it. So there's a lot of teams that have this missing link. And Minnesota's the same way. It's tough to block Griffin. It's tough to block Hunter. But you can throw the ball on them, and I think that's the issue. And one of these teams are going to be left out. I think it's going to be the Rams. I think Jared Goff and that offensive line, people now know that if you get into his face, he's not going to be able to drive the ball down the field. You've got to pressure him inside, and the Rams' offensive line, for as good a coach as Sean McVay has been, he can't hide it anymore. He can't hide it. Everybody knows the Rams' offensive line is bad.
And, Michael, you know, you look through the history of the league, Roger Staubach, Tom Landry, Chuck Knoll, Terry Bradshaw, Joe Montana, Bill Walsh, obviously more recently Troy Aikman and Jimmy Johnson, or Drew Brees and Sean Payton, and clearly the number one of all time, Belichick and Brady. Where do you rank Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll? Because these two, if for my money, they are a bigger foe to the 49ers than even Brett Favre and Mike Holmgren. I can't believe I'm saying that out loud, but Russell Wilson is just incredible.
He's remarkable. I mean, and he made a mistake last night that he rarely makes. He underthrew that ball in overtime. That's a touchdown. That's a usual touchdown throw by Russell Wilson. Now he's probably kicking himself for that throw. But, look, that's what made the game. I make picks on my podcast, The GM Shuffle, every week. I pick four or five games, whatever I like. You know, and I picked – and the reason I liked Seattle in that game was simply this. The numbers said the line should have been a little bit higher than it was based on my rankings. But when Wilson's getting 6 points, I think you got to take it. I think you got to take it, right? Like, it made too much sense. It was common sense to take it because he's too good of a player. He was going to keep that game close. When it was 10-0, it could have been 17-0. I mean, there was a part in that game where you just felt like the Niners were going to blow him out. Sanders gets hurt. All of a sudden, the fumble recovery, it's 10-7. You know, but he's remarkable. The offensive line doesn't protect very well, doesn't matter. Makes the run in third down, makes the run in overtime. Look, if the 49ers are going to rush the way they rushed against them, they'll lose to them again, because if you don't control them in the pocket, if you notice when they rushed him inside with the linebacker blitz through the B gap, he had nowhere to go. They sacked him. But when they rush and go past the quarterback, he escaped and made Houdini plays.
I'm curious. You mentioned it earlier. Jadeveon Clowney played his best game of the year. I think maybe one of the best games we've ever seen him play in the NFL. How much of that to you is just an exceptional athlete having a crazy night where everything is working and he just dominates because that's how good he is? And how much is two tackles coming off injury, looking a little rusty and not holding up that well?
Well, I think a lot of it was to the national audience. I think Monday night's still a big game, even though it doesn't seem like it to some people. I think it's the bright lights show everybody in the league who's watching. And I think this is about my contract's up next year, and this is what you'll get if you'll pay me huge money. I think that's always that's always the element that goes into that. And they played. I mean, look, I think Seattle's getting better on defense. I think they're getting much better on defense. But once again, you can throw the ball on them. They're not the same defense that they were when the Legion of Doom. You can throw the ball on them. I think he played well. Ansu, they're hard to block at times. Reed came back. That also helped. He missed the first six games. He's a big player. He had 7 sacks last year. He can rush from the inside. They challenge you with their front.
Michael Lombardi. The podcast is the GM Shuffle, available on radio.com. He is a radio.com sports NFL insider, and insider calls are brought to you by Quip. Go to quip.com/2019 and get your first refill pack for free. Michael, thank you as always for your time. Very much appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.